I'd like to welcome each and every individual to Mastermind Partnerships. Hi, my name's Kevin King, and I'll be your facilitator for this call. Over 60 and Loving Life, Special Edition, Dimensional Marriage. And if you do have any questions, feel free to connect with the individual who invited you to participate in today's session, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. Again, 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling in outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. Let's jump right in. An interesting article recently here written by Michael McCalco, who wrote an article called How Geniuses Think. He's one of the most highly acclaimed creativity experts in the world, and he authored one of the bestsellers, Thinker Toys, A Handbook of Business Creativity. And here's a quote. Like the highly playful child with a pail full of Legos, a genius is constantly combining and recombining ideas, images, and thoughts into different combinations in their conscious and subconscious minds. Consider Einstein's equation, E equals mc squared. Einstein didn't invent the concept of energy, mass, or speed of light. Rather, by combining these concepts in a novel way, he was able to look at the same world as everyone else and see something different. I thought it would be interesting to see how we can take that concept and apply it to dimensional marriage. Alan, I see that you're on the call today. Let's start with you. You had a most interesting question. Would you like to share that with the group?
I was wondering what advice you can give or we can come up with for specific actions to take when, you know, I feel that I'm right about something, but my spouse feels the opposite.
That's a great question. So I'm just going to open up the line here. We have Angelina. We have Mark from Synergy Solutions. Is it Misty who's joining us, or is it Randy?
It's Misty.
Fantastic. So we got a great group here. So, Mark, would you like to start? That was an interesting question. What advice can you give on specific actions to take when you feel that you're right about something, but your spouse feels otherwise?
I find on very complex, almost entrapment questions that it's always good to ask additional questions. So, Alan, what I would do is I would go ahead and ask additional questions. So I might ask my spouse, I might say, so, sweetheart, like 1 to 10, how strong do you feel, you know, about this? And so, you know, they say whatever, you know, 1 to 1 to, so they say a 7. And then, you know, how strong do I feel? I feel about a 7. Or if they feel 9, I feel, a 6. And so what, like in coaching, when you have two people or a group of people, what you're looking at is you're looking at, do people even see, are they even all looking at the same in the same direction? And often they're not. So you got to get them looking at the same direction. Once they look at the same direction, then you have to look and say, are they seeing the same thing? And in most situations, they're not. Are they even looking at the same piece on the same, in the same direction? So what do you see? I see a tree. Somebody else sees a sky. Somebody else sees a flag. Somebody else sees a rock. Okay, we got to get all on the same. So I look at it and kind of turn it into a game, Alan. And I'm like, oh, cool. Here's an opportunity for me to learn something about my spouse. If I indeed was surprised by her response. If I'm not surprised by her response, then it still gives me an opportunity. It's like, how quickly can we come to either an agreement or, like, we're going to agree to disagree, and then we have to go some direction. So whose direction are we going to go? Are we going to go her direction, or are we going to go my direction? Does any of that help, Alan, or not so much?
Yeah, that's actually that's pretty good. So But if you're going to go in two different directions, that can cause more conflict, which can be good or can be bad. But if you wanted to minimize the conflict, what do you do then?
Well, that's a great question. And so I would go ahead and say, you know, sweetheart, I have a perception we're going to have a lot of conflict. I am interested in minimizing that conflict. Are you too? So it's most of it's about questioning, Alan, to get alignment, to bring people into alignment. If my wife says, I'm totally in favor of reducing conflict too, then I would say, are you interested in reducing conflict on a short-term or long-term basis? And by then, she'd probably be rolling her eyes at me.
Like Tuesday.
Right. Better than kicking
coffee
me.
Coffee connection.
Right, better right. than kicking me, which she did on Tuesday, too. So it's, you know, I mean, is this really going to matter in another 100 years? I mean, is this really going to be significant? If neither the husband or the wife have to submit, so if both of them believe, I don't have to give in, I don't have to submit, then whoever does the submission of the two is the stronger of the two.
Right.
Whoever acquiesces, whoever gives in. So if my wife says, I don't have to give in to Mark on this, and I say, I don't have to give in to my wife, if neither one of us are forced into submission for whatever reason, then whoever submits is the stronger of the two.
Right. I understand that. That's profound.
And yes. And then it's really significant. The thing that, like, I don't mind submitting to people at all. The thing that ticks me off is when I submit and it blows up in people's face and then they don't recognize it and they don't own it. That really bothers me a lot. I'm like, because why? Because they'll do the same thing again, and it's like, you know.
So you're pursuing truth or you just wanted to be right?
Well, truth, absolutely.
Right. That's what but the other person may just wanted to be right all the time.
Right, and so even when they're wrong, they're right, because they can't handle
right.
it.
That,
and so
that's
a dangerous person to submit to.
Yeah. Wow, yeah.
Does that help, Alan?
Yeah, that's good, very good. Thanks.
Cool, you're welcome.
Angel, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Yeah, so what do you think about the conversation so far? Is this something that's resonating with you or not so much?
Definitely a touchy subject, but I think it's a good one. I think I agree completely with what Mark was saying. One thing that I try to remember when me and my husband don't agree on something or we just can't seem to find a common ground, that, like, I can be really stubborn a lot of the times and I don't want to budge, like, realizing that me proving my point, there's no winning in an argument, you know, and even if I get to the point where he just kind of lifts up his hands and surrenders to me, like, I'm still not winning, you know, like, it's causing more of a tension between us in that moment, or we didn't solve that problem in the right way. So in, like, the heat of the moment, I try to remember that, and then it kind of calms me down and enables me to be able to talk through or even submit, you know, even if I know I'm right, that's not the point. The point is coming to a point where we can work together and find a solution rather than prove who's right or wrong. So I think that's normally how I try to remember. I'm not perfect at that, and I normally fail at that, but I try to remember that when we are in disagreement. So.
That's most interesting. So would you say on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, what's more important to you, to pursue truth or to win an argument?
I would say pursue truth, and that's definitely pretty high. I would, you know, it's probably like a 10.
So you put the relationship. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Huh? I was just saying.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Sometimes people have different views on things as well. You know, like if I'm having an argument with my husband, we just see the same thing completely differently, and neither is wrong, but at the same point, we just have two different viewpoints. I think that's the point where you just kind of have to, you know, submit to one another, or you know, kind of talk it out. But if not. The point is not to win the argument, you know, the point is to come to a resolution and to be able to work together, I think.
Right, right. And I thought that was really important what you said, Mark. You could be looking at a, let's say you're looking at a picture and it's in a frame. And the spouse that you're talking to is seeing the front of a picture. And you're seeing the backside with all the wire and the screws and the wood and all the other sides. And like you said, it's so important to see the same picture, the same piece, in the same direction. Man, that
right,
was
and
huge.
That's where, like with Angel, when she says, you know, maybe neither one of us wrong. That's the thing that's tricky, is you both
yeah.
can be wrong, you both can be right. One could be right, one could be wrong. I mean, there, and then there's different degrees of wrongness too.
Hmm.
And so for my wife and I with the seven kids, one of our children during the teenage years, you know, I just got so frustrated with my child and my wife that I just went ahead and just turned her over to my wife and said, fine, we'll do it your way. You take her. And it blew up like crazy. But I knew... just because it blew up doesn't mean my wife was doing something wrong, because it wasn't so working so well with my approach either. And so, you know, that's where I think humility, like a lot of times leaders, you know, don't submit when they should. And so you're not letting somebody try their idea. When somebody's idea is really tried, and it blows up in their face, that if somebody gets their ego out of it, that will humble it. If they understand, listen, this person, you know, really tried hard to make this work even though they didn't believe it was the right way. I think the key is when there's submission to make sure that, like, if I submit to my wife and she says, I think we ought to go this way, I am all in. I want her to be right. Like with my daughter, when my wife took over that situation, I was all in. I'm like, I hope I'm going to support it. I'm going to try to make it work. I think when we submit, we kind of submit grudgingly with our, you know, feet, you know, dug in. And when it doesn't work, the person, you know, like my wife, like, I don't know if he really was trying.
Mm.
Misty,
right.
Your thoughts. Or questions for today?
My question was, I think, I don't know if it was last week or not, that you maybe said to document everything that you did when you were dating and back when you were first married. So I have done that over the course of the week. And my thoughts are is that even if I do the same, even doing the same things I did in the beginning, because life hits you, it seems like it's not the same effect.
So is there a question?
Well, I guess, like, how do you get the same effect? You tell us to document everything that we did in the beginning. So, I mean, you don't get the same effect, even if you're doing the same things after you're married and you throw some kids in there and things like that.
Nice. So what effect would you like to get?
The same effect I got when we were dating.
And what was that?
Attention, not in a negative way. Like, let's get attention in a positive way. You don't have to work as hard for it. You know, they always was picking up the phone to see if you'd text. Now you can text, even if it's nice or something important, and they may not pick it up for, like, 6 hours. But, you know, early on in the relationship, they're, like, grabbing the phone, they're calling you, you know, however it worked out. And then after you put, like, kids and life and finances and stuff in there, it's like you may not check the phone for, like, 6 hours. And I'm like, wow, you know, I'm asleep by the time he's like, oh, what a sweet message. Too late. Shut down. Too late. So it's like, you should have gotten that 5 hours ago. So, I mean, I guess, you know, that's a funny way of saying it. But, I mean, like, really? It's like, so you write a book and you give it to a man and he doesn't even open it. It's like, really? So, I mean, like, how do you get him out of that? Just, and it's not just men. I mean, in my situation, I'm talking about a man. But, you know, like, I have a friend that's going through a divorce. And, I mean, not going through a divorce, but going through some troubled times in their marriage. How do you get them to change? I mean, how do you get, like, them
to
switch?
No. Yeah, absolutely. So what I would do is I would go ahead and ask your husband and say, you know, is there anything that, you know, was in the dating or engagement or first years of marriage? Is there any feelings, experience? Is there anything that you were experiencing then that you would like to experience, you know, that you experienced then that you'd like to experience again? So find out what he wants to experience back then. That,
well, I could answer that for you, but go ahead.
And so if you can, then you recreate his experience, and he'll probably recreate yours.
Okay, so if it doesn't happen, I'm coming back to you.
Absolutely. Right. And so then what would happen is you might have to be a little more obvious and say, if I go ahead and create this experience for you, will you create this experience for me?
Why do you have to be so kindergarten for men, though? I don't understand. Some men. Some individuals.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's the same thing for people. It's, I don't know. It's just people. It's just, it is. It takes harder work. And so if it doesn't work, and so they're not attentive, they're not whatever, and so it's like you have to teach them to be attentive. And so, you know, my mom...
In a positive way.
Uh-huh, yeah. So my mom, you know, we never talked about sex at all, ever. And I don't know, there were a couple conversations, either right before I got married or right after. And it really, I mean, she did not say a couple of things, and that was, you know, so anything in the area of intimacy, I'd encourage you to get the act of marriage, and so that explains, you know, a lot of stuff in there that's really cool. My mom wouldn't give me the book before we got married. She says, yeah, you shouldn't get this book until you get married. It's like, okay, cool. And so, but she said to me something very profound. She says, if you enjoy it, you know, she's talking physical, then you have to explain it to your wife. It's like, duh. I mean, it seems like it's so much sense, but so we don't realize. So if that's true in the physical realm, it's probably true in the emotional, relational. And so, you know, so it just is what it is. And so do you want, so then you teach people just like I do my two sons. Sons, you're 14 and 16. I shouldn't have to tell you to mow the lawn. So you teach your husband, you know, hey, I really appreciate it. You give him what he wants. He gives you what you want. You're doing it both, you know, selfish, selflessly. And then you teach him and say it'd be really nice to go ahead and, you know, have you take initiative without me pointing it out, dotting the I's, crossing the T's. And then you make sure you're doing the same thing to him. And then what you do is if that won't work, then you change the way you think. And you think like so he doesn't return your text and you just can't get him to change. Then you go ahead and say, and then you get moved by something you did not get moved in the situation. So you get, like, you didn't get moved when you first got married, you know, probably, you know, with kids. So you think, if I was a single mom, I would absolutely love and adore my husband totally, you know, for taking care and doing with my kids. And so if you can't get him to change, then you work on changing the way you think about things. And when you change the way you think about things, and so you adjust and you modify your brain, your mind, to be able to enjoy different things. Does that make sense, Misty?
Doesn't seem fair, but it makes sense.
Right. It's not fair because you're growing and your husband's not. You're the one gaining the benefit from doing that. It's not him that's gaining benefit. You're the one. He's giving you a gift that he doesn't even realize he's giving you.
And you don't even know that you're getting.
Right. Right.
Amen to that.
Right.
Sure.
This is not a gift. No, it's a gift. It is a very big gift. And then I think what you'll find is as you grow, I think you'll find that not immediately, not in a week, but over, you know, a marriage, over a lifetime of a marriage, you will find that your spouse will, you know, start to grow. So in the coffee connection, you know, my wife's part of that group, and I think, you know, Kevin and others would say she is really growing. A lot. Like, she's starting to go ahead and mentally be able to move with me. I mean, she cracks everybody up, and she's got a sense of humor, and she's very interesting. But it took, you know, a number of months to draw that out of her, and she's getting stronger. Why? Because she doesn't want to be left behind. She wants to grow because she sees her husband growing, so she wants to grow too. As a spouse grows, the other spouse is going to want to grow for multiple reasons. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but mostly this is all men on the call, so what a good question to ask. But, I mean, so what, I mean, what if you guys have all been married, what, over 20 years? So at what moment do you become zoned in to that she's trying to re-spark the marriage or things like that? I mean, I'm assuming all marriages get kind of to that point where life hits them. I'm sure I'm not a first. So at what point from a men's perspective did you guys finally get it?
You're assuming we got it.
I got the same question for my wife.
Right, exactly.
Oh, man. We need more women, Angel.
Recruit.
It's so funny. I just love it. Like, I didn't respond. Why not? Because I'm like, I don't know if people will get my sense of humor and people might think I'm arrogant.
So what was your response going to be, Mark?
I think I got it like the first day of marriage when we were married. I got it.
Okay, you're off the call. You're done.
He's not even telling us the truth.
What did you get? What did you get? What did you get the first day of marriage?
Like, before we were married, my mom said to me, Mark, you know, at 9 years old, she went ahead and said, you know, Mark, you're going to make some woman the most amazing guy on the planet because you're so sensitive. Then she started crying because I gave her sour cream and onion potato chips. I'm like, this making women happy is not that hard. It's just not. So at 9 years old, sorry, it was before I got married. It was at 9 years old, I got women. My mom, I'm just attentive. It's like, if you want to go ahead and be connected to women, then you better learn to think like them.
Right.
Hey, it'd be really cool to have Rosanna's a view of that, you know? That'd be cool.
Right.
Yeah, to see if she thinks the same thing. Yeah, that would be cool. Invite her on next week.
So, Misty, I need you to get Rosanna on the call and have her get her point of view on what Mark just said.
Okay.
And so the thing is, the thing that you guys are assuming, you guys are making a lot of assumptions there.
We're asking questions to discover the truth.
You still have to execute. You still have to execute.
Well, the thing is like a woman who gets it, you know, a woman who gets it, so I'm saying I got it, and so a woman who gets it, what's she going to get?
All the men are silent.
It depends upon what she needs.
And the women are, too, because they don't know either.
I don't guess I understand your question.
So you're saying, man, when do you get it? I'm like 9 years old. And it's like, let's get Rosanna on. Well, I have a pretty good idea. I have a pretty good idea of what she's going to say. And when she says what she says, you won't understand what it is that she means, probably.
Well, maybe you didn't understand my question, because my question is when your marriage hits that point when your heart is exposed and it allows other people that could attach itself to it. What do you do to stop that from happening and create the atmosphere if it meant going back to the beginning, which is what I thought you said in the last call, going back to the beginning to the things that you did. So I don't think in any marriage or situation that at some point in a marriage that you don't come to a roadblock where your heart is exposed and there's some needs and wants that aren't being met that would allow someone else to slip in and fill those pieces of your heart. So even if you know everything to do, doesn't mean that you did it, because you might not have wanted to do it because your heart might have been, you know, open a little bit. So that's my, I guess, really my question is, how do you not allow those things to happen and get the other person's attention so that that doesn't happen?
Right.
So don't you think that it's a dimensional thing? It's like what works when you're just married or in a new relationship is completely different. I mean, and you can't, the object isn't to keep that same thing going, but it's to find what's next, you know, to bring the relationship to a completely different dimension. And that requires completely different things.
Oh, well, then that's good. And I'll quit focusing on the stuff from the beginning. So, Alan, what's your insights on that?
requires a lot of personal growth for each person, and I can't be responsible for my wife's personal growth. I can only be responsible for myself, and I have to work really hard at being open, at listening, at being unafraid to take risks and go places that make me feel really uncomfortable. And I have to keep doing it over and over again, even when, you know, the sky doesn't open up and lightning doesn't strike.
Cool.
And that's different than when you first got married, Alan?
Well, I think that there is a current, you know, that pulls you along in the beginning. And so it's easier, you know, in one
sense. Agreed.
This is most interesting. We've run out of time for today, but let's pick it up where we left off next week. If you're listening to the rebroadcast and say, wow, that was intriguing, well, guess what? It is, and it's going to get even more intriguing next week. And if you've received benefit from this, then go to thevisionproject.net. Click on What's Your Biggest Challenge? Go to Your Help as Needed and contribute to the group-funded app. It's a way to pay it forward. And if you do have any questions about the material in today's session, you can contact the individual that invited you to participate, or you can call toll-free 888-230-2300. That's 888-230-2300. Or if you're calling in outside the U.S., you can call the U.S.-based number at 630-393-9909. That's 630-393-9909. God bless and have an amazing day. Bye-bye.